Today the Greek people express their will to stay anchored with the euro.
Holding someone in contempt should not be done as a political weapon.
We appreciate that you made those sacrifices. You opened doors for us, but you know, if we have to choose between making partner and spending time with our children, we're going to do the latter.
I don't want to answer that question. That's a clown question, bro.
Recognize those stories from the week just passed. It's Friday on The Takeaway. It's time to look back at this week's big stories. Joining us now is Jeff Yang, writes the Dow Jones column for The Wall Street Journal, blogs for WNYC's It's a Free Country. Right here in the studio, Jeff.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in. Also, Farai Chidea, journalist and fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics. Hey, Farai.
Hello. How you doing?
So to both of you, I don't know if you were listening to the segment just a few minutes ago of some kind of swing voter reaction to Mitt Romney speaking yesterday in Orlando. Listen.
He sounds like a politician. You know, I watched the speech with my dad. My dad's a small business owner, blue-collar worker, hard worker type. And, you know, it felt fake. It didn't feel sincere. And it didn't win us over.
Latino voters were certainly paying attention to what Mitt Romney might say in response to Barack Obama's last Friday decision to, by executive order, enact a lot of the so-called DREAM Act. For Ichidea, that swing voter reaction seems pretty negative for Mitt Romney. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, I think that the reality is that Mitt Romney's reaction was very much based on ongoing concerns that we've already seen from the business community that have more to do, in my opinion, with having a steady supply of cheap labor available than with the actual life prospects of people who've lived here for many years. And so the question really becomes, you know, not only what kind of immigration reform does the U.S. have, but what's the motivation and who benefits from it?
All right. That's Farai Chidea, journalist and fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics. Jeff, what do you make of that?
I think that, if anything, this illustrates what a majestic corner Romney and the GOP in general has been painted into. Not just because the only response they really have is that they want a larger, more sweeping plan for reform to be enacted someday in the mythological future, but also because realistically, the demographics of America are working against them at virtually every level. The person who you brought on, and I thought that was a terrific
segment. Dede Blaze,
yeah. Hit all of the tropes that you would expect of a swing voter or even a conservative voter. She talked about, you know, being the child of a blue-collar worker, you know, tough economy, et cetera. And if she had to, voting for the exhumed zombie of Ronald Reagan. But here she was talking about not being able to support Romney and instead voting for Obama based expressly on his relief for these young people who were brought in, you know, to America.
All right, Jeff, Mr. Lefty himself. I mean, but it doesn't matter. It's just a photo op unless Barack Obama can deliver Arizona, can deliver New Mexico, can deliver Nevada and Colorado, and we don't know if that's going to happen.
The polls have shown that the needle has moved on all those places. Arizona was going to be a tough get, but it's tightened quite a bit after his statements. And Colorado is looking really strong. I mean, you know, he had it last time around, and it looks like he could get it this time around again.
So do you go along with that, Farai?
Well, you know, I think that, first of all, to reiterate what has been said many, many times by many, many people, the Latino vote is very much diverse within itself. So New Mexico Latinos have a very different self-identity than Arizonans, than people from the Dominican Republic who live in New York. So I do think overall there has been a swing in the expectations of Latino Americans, but also of non-Latino Americans about how we need to treat people who come. And of course, there's immigrant and non-immigrant Latinos. But I think there has been a swing in expectations about how we treat people who have Latino heritage, who have come to the U.S. as immigrants. I do think there's an evolution.
You know, I want to ask you about two stories that you noted in our conversation with you before we went on air. the week, of course, beginning with the death of Rodney King, someone who certainly changed the debate on race in the United States. And the week ends with, on a very, very different note, Ann Curry sort of trying to survive on the Today Show. Fry, how do those relate, if at all?
Well, I'm not sure that they relate other than they both have to do with the news business and the news cycle. For me, the Rodney King death was one that made me reflect on incarceration policy, because the reason that Rodney King was pulled over the night of the beating was because he was speeding at high volume. And the reason he said he was speeding was because he had been to prison before. He had an alcohol problem and he made some stupid choices. I'm not defending those and I'm not saying he shouldn't have been punished. But basically what happens is people who have substance abuse problems become, they're perpetually incarcerated. And if you took people who were nonviolent offenders and just cut in half the number who get incarcerated, you'd save $16.9 billion with a B dollars. And for Rodney King, in one case it was an assault case that he pleaded no contest to against his wife. But even in a case like that, which I completely don't condone, the question is, what's the end to that? What's the end game for America? The end game is alcohol treatment. How do we pay for that? Maybe by not incarcerating as many of our citizens as we do and being the top incarceration country in the entire world. So to me, you know, this story has many sides, but what I thought about was America's fetish for incarceration, and it is a fetish. With Ann Curry, I think about the Peter principle, which is that you'll get promoted past your abilities. Now, Ann Curry was a very adept news person, but when they forced her to get all smiley and hosty, she just, you know, she wasn't as good as she was before.
Although she was the same Ann Curry. I mean, I used to work with Ann. I mean, you know, the Today Show lost 6% of its audience since she came on. They cannot afford that franchise to even have a blip. And, Ann Curry is going to take the fall here.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. But I also feel like she's going to take the fall because of the way that the dynamics of the business push you into positions where sometimes maybe you shouldn't be. We've seen Christiane Amanpour in some positions where she's less good at what she does on air than she could be. Frankly, I think that, you know, you see a lot of people in TV who for different reasons get moved around to positions that seemingly are more popular.
We've lived it, Farai, flavor of the month. And then,
yes. Boy,
there you go. All right. Jeff Yang, something we might have missed this week that you want to make sure we understand.
Yeah. Well, the main things that I've been kind of keeping an eye on more because of the kinds of things I write about. The Pew Center released its first major report on Asian Americans in the United States called Rise of Asian Americans. It's actually caused something of a controversy in some ways because while it's a really amazing document based on a ton of work, there are Asian Americans who have said, well, it sort of casts us as being almost, you know, too successful, eliminates some of the realities of our community's challenges and so forth. And, of course, that's something which, you know, people are debating over. Is it better to, you know, kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater on this sort of
classic
thing?
Asian response to success, right? Success, quiet. Don't make so much noise. Yes, perfect. All right, before we go, we've been trying to put together an Olympics playlist for Americans anticipating the London Olympics. Farai, what's your suggestion?
I would go with LTJ Bookham's 1995 drum and bass classic Horizon, which also cites Maya Angelou.
Now, is that for gymnastics or track and field?
Track and field, baby.
All right, Jeff.
All right. Well, I had to go with Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe, if only because that's the only thing my kids are singing. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number.
I will let you know that I did a spoof of Carly Rae Jepsen's "Call Me Maybe" when I was at Harvard.
Hey, the Harvard baseball team.
Oh, you guys are great.
Exactly.
You guys are great. Song of the summer, or at least some summer, anyway. Jeff Yang, writer of the Dow Jones column for Wall Street Journal and blogger for WNYC's "It's a Free Country," and Farai Chideh, a journalist and fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.